This morning we have all gathered to pay a lasting tribute, pay our respects to Mr. Leon Israel of blessed memory. He was born May 11th, 1926, and he was 84 years old. He was the son of, like many in this room and like many in our community, he was the son of parents who came from a land far away, be it Turkey or in this case Rhodes. His father was Moshe Morris Israel and his mother was Gentile. We've gathered to give comfort, not only of course to ourselves just by being here, but of course to provide comfort to his family, to his children, Gail and Lori and Maury, and of course to his sister Daisy and sister Beverly. And although he's not here today in this room, his younger brother, Rabbi Yitzchak Bobby, who many of us remember, Bobby Israel, who's in New York, not able to be with us here. Leon grew up, again, like many of us here in the Seattle Sephardic community. He married his wife, Gloria Baru. They were together for 13 years, during which time they raised three loving, beautiful children. Maury, Gail, and Lori, as I mentioned earlier. He was a hard worker, as Maury mentioned, in the shoe business, and it was a trade, like Maury said, that he learned from his father. So important is it in life to learn a livelihood, and all that much better to learn the trade from your father, and all that better to learn a trade. Even our scholars, our rabbis of ancient times said, make sure you teach your children a trade so they will always have employment. You can go to college today, you can go to Harvard University today. You won't necessarily come out with a trade. If you learn a trade with your hands, you will always be able to earn a living. And it's impossible. It's a fact. As stated in the book of Genesis, we must all earn money in order to eat and to raise our family and to support our families. And this he did. He was one of the few, maybe one of the only, also as Maury alluded to, from the second generation of those who were in that trade of tending to people's shoes. He had his business, as many of us recall, in the Magnolia District of Seattle, where I'm sure he made many friends. He was a social individual, and he probably had many friends, maybe some even in this room, who only knew him from his life as a tradesman in the Magnolia area. You know, this is what, 2011, and I don't think you can find too many schools where you could enroll to learn the art of shoemaking or shoe repair or helping the public with their shoes and feet. I doubt very much. It's probably pretty rare. And if you ask someone what they wanted to be when they grew up, I don't think you'd find too many people looking for that trade. But it is a trademark of our community. How many of our parents and grandparents were very much involved in the trade of shoes? In fact, we even have there's even an old Ladino expression when they came from the old country. That expression has since evolved into something different, but they used to say Dali Shine. That original expression actually was referring to helping someone who came from the old country to give them employment. When they came to this country, how can we help them make a living so they can support their family? And we would help each other in that regard. And the good thing about our community that I always keep close to my heart and I keep it in my mind, and we should all keep it in our minds today, is that, and I make no excuses for any kind of livelihood that someone chooses to do, none whatsoever. It's honest work, you have to do it, but it's not the job, it's not the title that gives an individual dignity. It is the type of work a person does that, and the character of the individual that gives dignity to the job that they do. And this was Leon Israel. The very first words out of Gail's mouth when I spoke with her yesterday, and she was so generous, she and Lori and later Maury, with providing me, although I remember him, they could give me a glimpse into his life better than anyone else. The first words out of Gail's mouth were, he was a respectful and honorable man. And I knew that But those were the first words out of the mouth of his daughter. And I thought that was noteworthy. He was very independent. He was courageous. To the end of his life, he insisted on doing things independently and his way. He was clear-minded, and he was a very proud individual. As we heard, he valued and appreciated the time he served in defense of our country, the United States of America, during the time of World War II. He served on two fronts, one in the Philippines and one in Germany, in the United States Army. And it sounded like it changed his life. It may very well have been that if it weren't for World War II, he may not have been able to discover part of the world where he ended up during those years. But more so and more profound, he developed an appreciation for something we all take for granted, and even though we truly don't have it today, few of us really neglect to think about the word freedom. I mean, we are free, thank God. America is a beautiful country, but we see the threat of, heaven forbid, not having freedom chipping away at our existence. He appreciated very much the notion of freedom, and he appreciated it from the time that he served for all of our, for our collective benefit as a soldier in the United States Army. He also valued the camaraderie that it created and that he discovered by being with his friends that he made during the service. He had a very special relationship. We mentioned his name earlier. He's an honorary pallbearer. His nephew, David Eigner, who is to this day is following in his uncle's footsteps, and he is serving in Afghanistan, and I know you join me in our prayers that God should watch him and watch all of our young men and our young men and women who are serving in the military for our benefit. He appreciated his experience in the military even more because of the upbringing that he had, especially in the Sephardic community. His parents being immigrants from the old country, from Rhodes, the experience provided him a heightened awareness, again, of what freedom is, of what some of the values of life that we may tend to take for granted. We learn by reading about some of the great personalities in the Bible, a lot of their attributes. And of one of the early characters of the Bible, Noah, another person like Leon, who was not a stranger to boats and not a stranger to water. But the Bible describes Noah, his introduction to us in the Bible, in the book of Genesis. It says in Hebrew, Ele toledot Noach, Noach ish tzadik, tamim haya bedorotav. Our introduction to Noah in the Bible, in Genesis, is first telling us about these are the generations, these are the children of Noah. And then it immediately segues to tell us about who Noah was. It says Noah was a righteous man, ish tzadik. Tzadik means righteous. And then it uses the word tamim. In Hebrew, the word tamim, in modern Hebrew, it certainly means there's a simplicity to the person. But in biblical, tamim also can mean not only has the character of embracing simplicity, but a sense of completeness and well and good. And so the Torah, the Bible tells us Noah was ish tamim. He was simple and he was complete. And I think we can say this from the beautiful stories that I heard yesterday with regard to Leon Israel. He subscribed to the natural flow and the rhythm of life. He was unpretentious. And he was respected for his simplicity and his humility. And simplicity and humility are attributes difficult to find today. It's very hard. We have so many temptations, so many opportunities to ask the spotlight to shine on us. When you find an individual who doesn't need and embrace the spotlight and the center of attention all the time, you see a secure individual, that is truly a blessing, and it's even a greater blessing when that is conveyed to one's children, as it has in this case. Leon always had a constant reminder of who he was and from whence he came. Not only recalling his parents and his upbringing, but just with regard to his Judaism. You know, we all have names, but nobody is their name. If you name someone George, there's nothing George about a person named George. There's nothing Elizabethan about a woman who has the name Elizabeth. Yet, names are a symbolic reminder. It tells a story. It perhaps explains why your parents may have liked that name, or perhaps there was a person in your parents' life, or whoever named you, that was meaningful to them, and they wanted you to have that name, so you get a message. Leon had the distinction of having the name of, in Hebrew, Yehuda. And his last name was, of course, Israel. So his name was Leon, but his Hebrew name was Yehuda Yisrael. Yehuda was one of the sons of Jacob. But Yehuda also is the root word of the word Yehudi, which means a Jew. To say a Jew in Hebrew, you say a Yehudi. And it came from the word Yehuda, the name Yehuda, Judah, in the Bible. And his last name can never be mistaken for a Jewish name with a last name like Israel. So he was surrounded both with his first name and his last name, and is also customary in our tradition to recall who your father was, especially when you're called up to the Torah. So he was Yehuda ben Moshe. Yehuda, the son of Moshe. I don't have to tell you who the original Moshe was. He was named, of course, Moshe was his father, but he was Yehuda ben Moshe Yisrael. So his name contained had so many nuances about his tradition. It was a constant reminder, be it with knowledge or without knowledge. I'm sure in his case it was with knowledge. I'm sure he recalled his name, Yehuda Yisrael, reminded him and always kept at a conscious level from where he came and what his tradition was that he embraced so much. He had tremendous pride of not only his Judaism, but he had tremendous pride about his, and humility, with his Sephardic upbringing and his Sephardic heritage. He was a wonderful father to his children, Maury and Gail, and son-in-law Marty, and to his daughter Lori, and son-in-law Bill. And he was also very proud of his very two dear and loving grandchildren, Grace Lee, Israel Weinstein, that's Gail and Marty's daughter, and their other daughter, a beautiful name also, Theodora Israel Weinstein. They were his pride and joy, and the reverse is the same, of course. He had a wonderful relationship with his sons-in-law. There was a mutual respect, and they loved each other. We are also taught in the Bible, you know, there are 613 commandments in the Bible. Many of them we can't do today. These are laws and precepts. Many of those 613 don't apply anymore because the Holy Temple in Jerusalem was destroyed, and many of them are associated with the existence of the Beit HaMikdash, of the Temple. But there are certainly enough remaining commandments for all of us to engage. Anything from honoring your parents, to observing the Sabbath, to civil obedience. Laws of Judaism is great because it not only tells you the religious laws in the Torah, but we also have the civil laws, what you do if you damage your neighbor's fence. One of the laws in the Torah that comes to mind is, and read it in the Shema, this is called V'shinantam Levanecha, that we have an obligation to teach our children. It says, V'shinantam Levanecha V'dibarta Bam, you shall teach your children. And Leon, he had an unconventional streak to him, but he had a clear goal and a clear view to convey and to give over to his children the values as he saw it in life that he believed were important. And it started, if you ask me, after hearing even his appreciation of Whidbey Island and the beauty there and the outdoors and nature. He wanted to make sure his children knew that there was something more to the world than the very four beautiful walls of Seward Park. There's nothing wrong with Seward Park, of course. I'm a resident of that community to this day. But there is more to the world than Wilson Avenue and South Orchard Street. And the world is big, and he wanted to convey to his children that the world is large, there's a lot of beauty out there, the mountains, the sky, the trees, serenity and peace, which he found along with his family on beautiful Whidbey Island. I know Whidbey Island, I don't know it well, but I've been there, and I'm sure you'll all agree it's a beautiful place. He built a cabin there for his family. And this cabin there, as Maury mentioned earlier, it's for his children, and I hope they have many wonderful times there. Even his military service, I shouldn't say even his military service, but his service in the military, he was sure to convey the values that he learned from the military, be it camaraderie, be it the appreciation of freedom. He let his children know how important that was. He not only was taught by his father a trade, but he taught his son a trade. I don't know if Gail and Maury fish, but apparently Maury does, and he taught him a trade. That was very important. A spiritual lesson that he taught his children: simplicity and unpretentiousness. Very important, very difficult to achieve. Again, in these days, in these times that we live, it's so easy to ask for the spotlight to be shined upon us, and not to be content with what you have, and not to have a feeling of acceptance of what life sends your way, but to clearly embrace and value simplicity and unpretentiousness is a great accomplishment. And I'm kind of focusing on the island because it actually sounds like a very beautiful thing to do and a very beautiful place, especially when Gail told me and recalls the childhood memories. Again, this was an expression of appreciating what you had and appreciating even a certain kind of youthful freedom that she said all we had to do in those days when we were younger on the island was make sure we were home by sunset for dinner. And even those days we don't have today, where, you know, we don't live in that type of a world per se. I mean, we do have it, but growing up in the 60s or early 70s, that's what life was like. And to be able to recall it and to embrace what that was and to value the freedom that was is profound. So I'm sure so much more could be said about Leon Israel and his life, his very colorful life, from his loving children. I know all of you share my hope that the family, Maury, and he was very close with Daisy as well, and his sisters and his entire family, and his brothers and his entire family. But to Maury, the children, Maury, Gail, and Lori, and their extended families, we wish you only health and happiness from this point forward, and may his memory always serve as a blessing to you and to all of yours.